In 2021, Talk About It Outdoors partnered with an industry-leading brand that has stamped its name on the outdoor industry. Cruiser Saddles, in itself, stands on perfection. And with every climb we make, we elevate ourselves above the rest. In addition to a support to our hunting journey, the men and women behind Cruiser believe in the same principles of life as us. Faith, family, and the blessings of being better as they go in every sit. If your desire to pursue your passions one step ahead of the rest, go ahead and get in the best. Check them out on all the socials or head over to their website at www.cruiser.com. That's CRUZR.com. And tell them to Talk About It Outdoors boys and Chasing Weekends sent you their way. The journey of life has a unique way of being able to create tried and true friendships as we go. In forming those relationships, oftentimes, good things come to follow. Talk About It Outdoors is proudly supported by Cal Hardy, the Barrelhead Land Company. Cal is the leading broker over Georgia and is happy to assist you with finding the place where you can call home. With vast knowledge and an understanding of the ever-evolving real estate market and a unique old-school approach to everything he does, he exemplifies what it means to treat others like you'd want to be treated. Don't settle for being just another number in a phone. Choose Cal Hardy for all your land, home, and commercial real estate needs and become a part of his family. We sure are blessed to have him as a part of ours. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, or give him a call at 770-296-2163. Step back to the times when a feed store was more than just that, and the people inside smiled with friendly faces and provided a place for a talk on life, as well as all your essential farm, livestock, and pet needs. Cherokee Feed and Seed, located in Ball Ground, Georgia, with an additional location in Gainesville, are the hometown supplier of all your cattle, equine, and pet needs, with the added addition of being able to keep your deer herd healthy with protein and minerals. They also carry an assortment of hunting blinds and gear, and you can rest easy knowing the people that support local ball clubs and children's sports are who your hard-earned money is going to. The people here greet you with a handshake and a smile, and Cherokee Feed and Seed give more than just a product. They give you a welcome that'll make you return time and time again. Stop in next time you're in the area and tell them you're part of the Talk About It Outdoors family. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. You ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, Talk About It Outdoors coming to you live once again from the Cruiser Saddle Studio. Nicholas Wilson, Alex DeBoer, Joshua Underwood, Mr. Tyler Moore are here for part two, joining us all the way from Tennessee, or was it Spokane? Yeah, Spokane, Washington. Mark Squirrel is back again. Y'all pull up a chair and sit a while. Oh, I got some doggone messed up on that one.
That's okay, buddy.
Oh, I didn't do quite. Listen, this part two is getting late in the night, you know. So we're already enjoying the conversation. And
this is the same night. We're just breaking this into part two for everybody listening. So I want to apologize because it actually just came to me that we did break this into part two. I didn't read a Bible verse in the last one, so I broke that. Trend. So
well,
Well, I only got one, but I'll add it.
I tell you what, we'll in the post of it, we'll put it in there. So if you want to see what you missed in part one, or what Nick didn't do in part one, we had so much doggone fun in that
one.
Yeah,
we did. That was a good fun.
It's okay. Close it in part two with that, Nick.
I'm going to. I got to add it in there, but we hadn't really planned on doing two episodes until we're just sitting here and thought, well, heck, we might as well break it up. It's going so good. So let's get back to the swamps, unless Alex wants to ask you where you got your first tooth, where you lost your first tooth or something.
Yeah.
How much you make? How much does the tooth fairy bring on your first tooth?
Now listen,
year was it you potty trained, Mark? What year?
Now listen, if you was going to Dollar General and gonna pick up a pizza, what color waffles would you get? Oh my goodness!
Oh man!
So let me go back to the swamp because I think somebody, maybe one of y'all made a post the other day. You said this was the wettest year that you've ever been there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a wet one.
It was kind of interesting. Did you find it hard for the turkeys? I've seen turkeys in Dave's past videos where they didn't seem to mind it. Did they seem to mind it this year?
You know, I don't think that was a factor. Well, I think the limiting factor this year, which was across the board for everyone, was the humidity down there. The weather was hard, downright horrible. And people think, well, Florida's always humid, which is true. But when you're starting out for some reason overcast, and I found out, like the turkeys down there, I think 70, 80% humidity, they tolerate it. We were starting the day off complete cloud cover at 100% humidity. So just imagine what we felt like, you know, like Chubbs always made reference to it. He felt like a can of jelly or something like that. But it was those turkeys. I think that was the biggest thing for us. The water they live with year round. I mean, during deer season, honestly, the wet years, if you would see that place, it's unreal. So I don't think that was the biggest limiting factor, in my opinion. And I'm not an expert by all means. I've had spent a lot of years there. You know, year round, I've lived there, and I spent a lot of time in the Cypress year round with some fellas. But yeah, I think the weather had the biggest factor or limiting factor for us. They just weren't gobbling. And you guys know they're not a big gobbling turkey anyway. And if they don't gobble, it's really hard to hunt them, you know?
Yeah. So that's, I'm glad you said that, because that's where I was going with this. So as of here lately, it seems like a lot of places, and this is going to tie into what we want to talk about with public land, it seems like a lot. And Coach Strickland just had a podcast that covered it, talking about gobbling turkeys. It seems like when I was younger, which we had more turkeys at the time in North Georgia, but it seemed like we had more turkeys, more vocal turkeys. Now they seem real quiet. And I always heard growing up, I've never hunted South Florida, but I've always heard those Osceolas don't gobble that much. They don't gobble that much. So you're probably used to it, hunting all that time down there. Have you found, living in Tennessee or hunting up here in North Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, wherever you may hunt.
Spokane.
Have you noticed that turkeys have started doing that up here? And if so, I guess how is your hunting strategy versus like somebody like myself that's from up here? What kind of advice do you give people like that? I mean, I know it's kind of a couple part question there, but.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think last year was my first year I moved into Tennessee, and I think I was hunting some of the public land around here, which I still do. I love it. I like big mountain stuff. I found before season I was on turkeys. I found turkeys in a lot of places. You know, we do our recon, go out and drop your pins. Come during the season, though, I couldn't find a gobbling turkey. I couldn't find one. Now I knew they were there. So my strategy, you know, the advice I would have is read the sign, you know, like I don't deer hunt turkeys. I've not won the deer hunt a turkey, you know, but I like to move through there. But if they're not gobbling and you know they're there, you got to spend the time there. You know, like, does it play games with your head? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everyone wants to hear one gobble, you know, I mean, like, and I could tell you this right now, I was fit to be tied last year. I mean, I was able to get my limit, but it was tough, I would say, for me, you know, and I think even in Florida, those turkeys don't gobble a lot, but you have days where they would gobble right to your gun barrel. You know, as far as changing the strategy, just if you know turkeys are in the area, just be more patient, I guess. And I think Sleazy had talked about it a lot. One of the things that we, as we get older, have done more is I'm a lot more patient. In real life, I'm 170 miles an hour always, right? I've always been like that. I've never really, I know I'm probably getting off topic here a little bit, but I didn't have a turkey hunting mentor. I'm all self-taught. And I do everything wide flipping open. That's just me. So that's how I used to do it. I think now I've got a few years experience. The last few years, I've slowed it down. So like to give you an example, if I hear a turkey first thing in the morning, I don't necessarily run right into that turkey where I used to. I'd be like, oh, he's the only game in town. I'd be gone, you know? And I would probably miss out on a bunch of other stuff behind him, you know? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I think you make an interesting point there. You talked about you didn't get you got a late start turkey hunting, and I've got a late start turkey hunting. I mean, there's no shyness away from that. I mean, really, I guess what, I'm 37, so it'd be 34, 35 really when I started turkey hunting. I'll tell you one thing.
1935?
Yeah, exactly. 1935, that was the year that they come out with the Tommy gun, I believe, was introduced, and J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the FBI. They had just locked up they just killed somebody. Anyway, we'll get back on topic.
Your timeline is off.
I'm not far off there. It was the 1930s when the Tommy gun came out. So if you look back at an opportunity to learn something later on in life, I feel pretty fortunate that I was able to take turkey hunting on later because I didn't get to rush through it, but I got to hear all the stories. And I feel like it's been a better appreciation for me because I don't care if I kill a turkey or not, just being able to go, you know, spent time with you, Nick, in the woods, and of course my son this year, and the way that I have with him, it's been pretty special, and I've been able to slow down and experience something totally different as an adult that I didn't get to do as a youth. And in a way, I kind of felt like I missed out on something, but in a way, I don't really think I did because I was able to slow down and enjoy it more because we're at that point in our life.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, honestly, I mean, no more truth than that. I mean, I wish I would have started when I was 14, honestly. I mean, because I remember deer hunting at 14, and I couldn't tell you the amount of turkeys that were roosted on that hill, you know, and I always looked at them. I was mesmerized by them, but I never turkey hunted. But like you're saying, I think, you know, once I met Dave and Chubbs and Hunters and I got time to spend with them in the woods, appreciating it more maybe, or slowing down and learning different styles. Those people have helped my game tremendously, I think, you know?
Oh, I bet. Big time.
You put that many turkey killers in one place together and can talk about the things that they do. Yeah. You're going to learn something quick.
How many years? I'm going to go back to the swamp. How many years have you been hunting there?
Oh man. 2009 was when I moved back, 2009 was my first Osceola kill down there. So I'm not a good math major, honestly, guys. I work for a payroll company. I'm not a math major.
So the reason I ask this is South Florida has probably got to have more predators, nest predators than any other place in the North America. And, you know, everybody says nest predators are the dwindling population of turkeys. But do you find that case for South Florida? I mean, y'all seem like, again, I know y'all spent the time down there and y'all do the homework and y'all go find turkeys, but seems like y'all still find them. Have you noticed a big change since 2009 to now?
Yeah. I mean, well, in the last couple of years, and I'm not a professional or any by any means, but I, my opinion, and Dave and I talk about this quite often, and I might be way off base, but I think in 2005, when they had that big hurricane down there, Hurricane Andrew, and it blew out a lot of those snake places, and they got that big infestation now of these pythons down there, I think the Cypress has seen some benefit to that. Now, don't get me wrong, we have all those cats, you know, they'll tell you down there there's, oh, that those are endangered. Just the panthers are endangered. The mountain lion's endangered. That's not true at all. There's a ton of them. They've wiped the deer population out, but I think it's worked. I'm not a biologist, but I think it's worked the other way, where I think those snakes have been ingesting more of these fur-bearing animals. Because I could tell you, Dave and I talk about this all the time. When we used to go in every mud puddle, you'd see coon tracks, you know, and you'd see those fur-bearing animal tracks. We don't find that stuff anymore. We don't find that stuff anymore. So that leads me to believe that these snakes are consuming, you know, those nest predators per se. And I think the population, you know, I'm not sure if it's exploding, but it's maybe it's maintained, you know.
Have y'all seen any of those snakes?
I came onto one time and I tried to shoot it. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how these snake catchers do it and whatnot, but I tried to grab onto him and he was so fast and I couldn't even shoot him either. So, yeah. I saw one python in my life, and he was big. Biggie.
Yeah. You ever watch that Python Cowboy getting off subject right here?
I do. Yeah, Trapper Mike. He's a crazy individual. There's a couple other individuals down there that that one episode getting off top of it, he had that snake bite him, and he was deep in there.
Uh-huh.
That's some crazy stuff, man. Like, I don't like snakes like we talked about now, earlier.
This is the same type of stuff y'all were turkey hunting too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever make it down that far.
No, about Lake County, down there where we was at. It's about as far south as I'm going, Nick. I'll go ahead and throw that out there. I'm not going nowhere that a snake. Listen, I am 6'3", 2'3", 160, 170 pounds after I've been to a Ryan's buffet. I'm done. They're eating me. They're squeezing me, breaking me. I'm done.
Yeah, you'll be done quick.
Man. Hey. You know what? You say that, but I think if you get down there, you get used to it. I can remember the first few years. We had some real, I can remember wading up to my waist deep 3 a.m. through the, now the water's really clean. You can see it, but it's brown. So at dark, it's eerie. And I remember wading, you know, bumping into a cypress knee and thinking you're stepping on a gator. I mean,
I bet.
It's crazy.
I bet.
Do you see many gators?
Oh, I've seen this year. We probably saw more snakes and gators than I've ever seen in the Cypress ever, just because I think it had to do with that attrition to all the water, honestly. But yeah, we used to, man, I bumped into them quite often. Typically, they'll leave you alone, though. You know, people get really scared of them. Now, the first few times, yeah, I'm not going to sound like I'm a badass or nothing. I still go the other way. Yeah. I'm kind of scared of them, you know. But let's be realistic, you know.
Well, so we went down and hunted in South Georgia late last season, Nick and I did, and we were in a very wet area. I mean, we was having to wade water, you know, thigh deep and go through there, and we struck a turkey, and we didn't realize there was a lot of water between us and them. Do you find a different strategy when you're trying to call those birds to you, or do those birds not pay that much attention to water in South Florida?
It really depends on how deep it is. If it's a big cypress strand that they have to go through, typically they don't probably like to go through that. So we'll try to make our way through the water, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think we ran into some of that this year. With it being so wet, it slowed down our time to engage those turkeys, you know, because you're trying to be – now, believe it or not, they can hear really good, right? So they hear that water slopping around. So you know, we try to get as close as we could because they'll go through water. I've seen them. I mean, there's some Dave videos. That one that he shot years back was breast deep in the water. They'll go through the water, but I don't think they're going to swim through some of that stuff. So you've got to try to, I guess, pick your plan of attack. A lot of it is, like you said, strategy and looking at, okay, this is where we think the turkey is. This is where the water is, you know, knowing how cypress strands are and the way those edges come together will help you out a lot to navigate to those higher sides, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Hey, on those videos when you guys are down there hunting, and this is just for my own knowledge, but when I'm watching the video and y'all are walking out through some of that stuff, it looks like I'm not going to say a hill because obviously you're probably at sea level or below, But it looks like a rise out there with a group of trees in it. Is that just because of the way the trees look, or are they like mounds throughout there? Does that make sense?
No, there's no mound. Yeah, it does make sense. It's funny. The first time I went down there, these people were, they used to call it a ridge. They say, all right, you just go out through the Pine Ridge. And I'm looking there. I said, you must be on something crazy, because everything's flat to me, you know?
Yeah, but
typically, they call those pines, where the pines are, they call a ridge or a mound. There's not a mound, you know. You might have an occasional island, and I don't even know the tree that grows on those islands. I'm not a botanist or anything, but sometimes you'll get like little clumps of trees that grow on these little islands out of the cypress, but that's really it.
Yeah, because I swear, like when I watch those videos and see in the background, it looks like y'all are walking towards like a little hilltop that leads down into the water, and that's just the way it gives me that illusion. But
it's flat all the way through it. It's crazy.
I guess outside of there, that's probably like your home, you know, where a lot of these guys, I guess Dave's home's Georgia. But as far as places to go, what's some of your other favorite places to travel to?
Man, I grew up turkey hunting. And, you know, I can't say grew up. I was a grown man. Then I hunted New York. I still like the hardwood stuff. I mean, I'm really, I don't know why. I like Florida. I spent a lot of time down there. I really do. I'm starting to really love the big mountains here in Tennessee. You know, I like that hardwood. It's like New York in a way, you know. Some of the other states maybe out west, you know, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been to Hawaii?
No, I've not been to Hawaii, not yet.
Okay. So you gotta check that one off soon.
I know. I do. It's on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd like to go out there sooner than later. I don't want to, after me and Tyler.
Me too. I don't want
to. Me and Tyler's little hike the other day on National Forest. I'm going to have to go do that a few times, probably for a month before I go out there.
Yeah. With this thing becoming so popular, I don't want it to get to like a Nevada or a Rhode Island. You know, I'd rather get out there sooner than later.
Let's talk about popularity, because we talked about that before we started this show back up, talking about public land and stuff. And I'm sure you've seen the changes over the times. And I would assume Florida, going back to the swamp again, I would assume that's probably one of the most popular places, just because that's the only place you really can get Osceola is Florida. So How many changes have you seen over since 2009?
Quite a few, I think. I think quite a few changes. And I think one of the biggest ones that stand out to me is, I think the modern-day turkey hunter has a – it's not for everyone, so don't get me. I'm not pinning on everyone here. I think there's a lack of respect, though, that's fallen across public land. Because I remember back in the older days, if someone beat you to some spot, you know, you have to have a plan B and C. And I don't think those exist as much anymore, in my opinion. Now, I don't know, take it for what it's worth or not, but I think some of that's a big change. I don't think the population, I mean, yes, we have turkey numbers at a decline all over the states, right? But like Dave says, and we've talked about this constantly, we're still able to find those pockets of turkeys. Just because they're not in the same spot you've been hunting for the last 20 years doesn't mean they're not there in that state. You might have to get in the car and drive a couple hours, you know? Mm-hmm. But those are the two biggest things for me, maybe. I don't know.
You think that respect thing goes back to the fact that people can get away with running their mouth on social media and not getting their teeth kicked in like they did 20 years ago?
You hit the nail on the head, right? I don't want to get all crazy on this, but yeah, there's back in the day when we grew up, when we were coming up, and absolutely you too, there was none of this keyboard warrior bullshit that took place. You know, like you had something to say, you said it. If you did said the wrong thing, you stepped out of line, you get your teeth smacked. And I don't think that happens anymore, you know? These parents are raising these, for lack of a better word, I'm going to go politically correct on these softer individuals. I think that it's okay to talk it out. Well, sometimes what I learned was, sometimes if you don't want to listen, you have to feel, you know. And
I was like, how's your toe feel? Real bad when you stomped on it.
Yeah, right. You know, so yeah, I think that's a big factor. I think, you know, a lot of these people hide behind, whether it's the keyboard or social media, you don't get the escape from. And I think, you know, that's changed the game tremendously, in my opinion, on this. I mean, I'm not a bad person, individual. I'll always treat people with respect. You treat me with respect, I'm going to treat you with respect. That's just, but I think some of that common sense is left nowadays, you know, behind.
Yeah, I think so too. I had a situation where I went to a piece of public ground, which would have been two Sundays ago when this come out, but a gentleman pulled up to me. I was there first, and we wasn't really at a gate. We was at an open parking spot. And it was a younger guy come up to me, and he asked me which way I was going. And I told him I was going to take this road to the right. He said, okay, I'll go to the left. There's a creek that divides a piece of public ground. He said, if one gobbles on your side of the creek, I'll stay on my side, and vice versa. And I said, deal. Well, I get in there and get to hunting, and then here comes somebody else on me, and I don't know who it is. But as I was walking out, right, I heard a turkey gobbling over on that guy's side, so I didn't go after it. But I guess this is kind of probably – I think most people would know what to do depending on the land. But if you pulled up to a gate, I guess this is for everybody's opinion. If you pull up to a gate, you know, is there like a track of land, a certain size, you know, like let's say you pull up to a gate, you know, that gate's the only gate down that road for 10 miles, but there's 5,000 acres behind that gate and there's one car. Would you get out and go hunt? I probably would personally if I only seen one car there. Now, I would probably slow play it if I didn't see a guy there, and I would give him the benefit of the doubt to think, hey, you're probably going to go the first turkey. I would give him that benefit. But if there were two or three, four cars there, I probably wouldn't do it. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, I think for me, and I haven't got to experience this, but one time, if I pull up to a gate and there's somebody there and it's a small track. Now, hunting close to the house here, we know the small tracks property that we've got close to home here. You go up north, there's a lot more. But if I pull up there and somebody's at that gate, I'm going to try to go to the next one. I'm going to try to check. Generally, we're getting in there earlier than most people will, though. I mean, let's be honest. We're 4 o'clock leaving the house. We're there at 4:30, 4:45. So if I pull up and somebody's already there, they've done their homework. They're already in that spot. Try to find somewhere else. Now, if I pull up and nobody's there and I get out, somebody pulls in behind me. Well, I was here yesterday and I roosted a turkey. Okay, what do you do in that situation? I was here first, whether you roosted it or not. I'm still hunting. I mean, that's just me. But if somebody's there, I'm going to let them have that spot. Now, if it's a big track to land, well, I'm going to suck it up and strap the boots a little tighter and get gone.
So. What's your take on my question there, Squirrel?
Yeah, I mean, kind of similar. Like, usually, typically, I don't know. I'm just, if I pull up to a gate, now, big tracks, a different story, you know, 10,000 acres or more is a totally different story.
That's right.
But typically, if I pull up to a gate and there's a vehicle there, I'm leaving, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know where that person is. I don't, you know, if the cars are there, I don't know where that person is. I really don't want to mess with them. If we pull up and it's a big track of land and we pull up together, or I'm there before, a little bit before him, we try to talk and figure out what's going on. You know, what the plan, right. Where do you plan on going? You stay here and I'll stay there. Do I trust them? Probably not so much, but you know, a big track of land like that, you kind of got to do the right thing. I guess use your own discretion. I would, because I pride myself up in getting early. I mean,
that's right.
You know, and if I can, you can, you know,
that's right.
It's not, there's nothing special about you. We all put our pants on the same way. And I ran into this, this past opening weekend here in Tennessee, like, I've been doing some scouting, you know, and I take a lot of time away from home and went there, and this gentleman was from out of state, and I was at the gate, what, 3 a.m. early, and he comes pulling up at 4, which is early, you know, you Southern people get after it now. So I said, well, what's your plan? He says, well, I'm going back through that gate. And I said, no, you're not. I said, I was here, you know, like, you need to have a plan B. There's another gate right down the road. Why don't you go hit that? And he just put his stuff on. He's like, I don't want to fight. But, you know, and I started telling him what I really thought about him and his ethic and how this thing has changed so much. And he went right on through. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. He went down in there. I've been hunting this 20 years, and I told him I don't flipping care. You know, like, then you need to get up earlier, you know. So – he went on through. I don't think he went all the way back to where I was, because I'd passed him up. I was riding my mountain bike, and I went by him, and I stopped to have another friendly conversation with him. And I kept on going back to a spot, you know, where I'd known there was a turkey and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's a good conversation, because there's a lot of times that you can pull up certain gates in certain places, especially like National Forest up here and above us, you know, and there could be, like you said, there could be 5, 10, 20,000 acres. You know, I don't think that would necessarily stop me. Now, I may not go to the closest bird that's gobbling just because I would feel like that guy would be possibly chasing that if he knew that was there. But I also, you know, something else I did, I kind of pat myself on the back when I was walking away down there was when I was talking to that guy about, hey, you hunt this side of the creek, you hunt this side of the creek. I just kind of started picking his brain. I said, was anybody else in here yesterday? He said no. So I knew he was in there yesterday, obviously hunting after a turkey that we had both had found, and he hadn't killed it.
Right.
So it kind of done me two things. One, I knew that I was fine to go in there because the bird was still alive since nobody else was in there yesterday. But I don't know. I think, like you said, I think you got to have those conversations if you can get there early enough. But hey, you better start getting up early if you want to hunt public land nowadays, because let me tell you, there's a piece by us, and I've hunted this public land all my life, and we came by Saturday. I've never seen, there was one gate, and that's the one gate we stopped at that didn't have a car at it. And I was just blown away how many people was out there.
Do you think that it gets less as season goes on, less and less people get out there?
I keep saying that, but I don't know if I'm saying that to ease my mind because I want to get on some gobbling turkeys, or if I'm saying that, but I do. I think people get burnt out on it after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts getting hot. Turkeys stop gobbling. Birds get call shy. I mean, we're only 2 weeks into public season here in Georgia, and we're probably 4 weeks now when this episode comes out, but the birds have shut up on public ground. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. You're hitting the nail on the head, man. I mean, I think people start slacking off towards the end too, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's the one state that you've been to that you'll go back to every time? And what's the one state that you've been to that you'll never go back to, Squirrel?
Ha, that's an easy one. I'll never go back to Nevada. That place can burn in hell.
Boy, it must be tough.
It's just, you know, actually, I was fortunate. I was in Nevada for a whole 30 minutes, and I killed a turkey and left. But, yeah, it's gotten really bad. It just, you can't draw the state, you know. It's the way they set up their tag system is terrible. So, as far as going back to, man, I'd have to say Texas or maybe Washington or Idaho. That's another place I'd always want to go back to, you know, more than once was Idaho, maybe somewhere out west, Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
I just always ask that question.
Absolutely. I love it out there too. And
what about you? Where would you go?
Well, I've been to Georgia and Florida, and so I guess Georgia or Florida, always, always for me. I mean, of course, Nick's done more of the traveling out west as Cody and Tyler went out there last year. But for me, we went to Florida for the first time last year. I mean, that was the first turkey hunt that I ever really got to go on. And Nick took a bird the second morning. Of course, I went and shot a few birds in a back pasture or whatever you want to call it. And we had a great hunt down there. But what I realized about that morning sitting in a blind and listening to Nick call and everything was I can sit here and kind of bullcrap with my buddies a little bit. And me and you both know I like to talk. I mean, Alex, he likes to tell a story or two as we've learned from each other. But that was what was neat for me. I'm like, man, I ain't got to be all quiet and everything quite as much as I do when I'm deer hunting here. So this is pretty cool. So.
Right.
But the opportunity to go out west, I mean, it's not as appealing to me as it is to you guys. I mean, that's where y'all like to go. But I'm really looking forward to going to North Carolina. I mean, that's something I've planned for a couple of years. And I'm going there, this episode will be in the past when I'm there. But I'm looking forward to that trip. And I think it's just because I've spent time around you and hearing you talk about traveling stuff, Nick. And I think that's what's cool for me to get to go somewhere and try something different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, man.
I haven't traveled enough. To enough states to know, but I have. We went back to Idaho 2 years in a row, so I gotta give it up for Idaho. I mean, it's not the I haven't found those big timber tracks out there that I do see on some of the videos, but most of the stuff we've been hunting's been freaking cut over. But I don't know. I just like that. I don't know. I just like those. I just like a lot of turkeys gobbling. I like public ground that a lot of people ain't on. I don't like pressured birds, and I don't like a lot of pressure, so I like it out there.
So you like everything every other turkey hunter likes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever done any fall?
We have a lot in common.
Have you ever done any fall hunting? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I used to see New York had a fall season, still does, you know. I mean, so back when I first started turkey hunting, yeah, I did a lot of it. I did a lot of fall hunting. I didn't have a dog, but I was, any chance I got to be in the woods, I was, you know. And I kind of gave up deer hunting. You know, I don't deer hunt as much just because I just, my time's limited right now, you know, being, right. I don't know, keep harping on it, but being a single dad really weighs on. I want to be traveling like the best of people. That's hard for me to even get on social media nowadays, you know. It's like, man, seeing all these people killing things, and I want to do it. I just know I can't. Because they really frown if you take her out of school quite often, you know?
right. Well, hey,
especially here in Tennessee.
You're not active on social media, but you throwed me a "that's great" or a comment the other day on that picture I posted. I said, "That's squirrel right there." I was so excited. I fanboyed for a second there. I'm not even going to lie. So
yeah, I like all y'all's stuff. I follow y'all. I'm one of those guys that hides behind. I watch a lot I don't do a lot of, and there's other reasons for that, but I don't know. I mean,
as you've kind of grown in popularity, people seeing you on the Penhody Project and you getting to meet people like at NWTF, do you find people recognizing you in more places than you did in your, you know, in prior years, or are you kind of staying standoffish still about that? Because, I mean, you're a very open person. You're like anybody that runs into you, you're going to stop and talk to them. That's what's pretty special about all you guys. But, you know, I really enjoy seeing you interact with people. That's always neat to see.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if people recognize me as much. You know, you can't miss Chubbs. He's 6'3", 450. he's a big individual when you see these people. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's been some popularity. I moved out to San Diego for a little stint with a job and some other stuff. We were out there. I was getting together with a woman, and I pulled up to a gate. I mean, random as hell. And I just don't wear Penhody stuff like when I'm doing that type of hunting stuff, just because, you know, I don't know. I'm just particular about that. That on stickers on my vehicle, that type of stuff. This kid was knocking on my window, and he's like, "Hey, you're Squirrel." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." He's like, "Yeah, you're Squirrel. We watch all your episodes." I said, "Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. You must have the wrong person." He was like, "No, man, I know it's you." And I'm like, "All right." So we got talking, and the young kid from Alabama, he was out there in the military or whatnot. But yeah, I think it's people start to notice you more and more as you go. I mean, like I did, I put my pants on just like everyone else. I'm not a professional. I'll talk to anyone. You want to talk to me, you know?
Why is the camera so fascinated with Squirrel sleeping?
I don't know, man. The secret Dave likes to him just, you know, he likes to, we got good stuff on him, and they just love to do that funny stuff. I think it, you know, or they'll hone in on the missing, or they'll hone in on me sleeping. Meanwhile, in that episode, y'all getting back to that, both of them are knocked out way before me. You know, so I told Dave, I said, "You need to let me start editing some of this stuff. We'll really spin the tails here."
A Penhody Project, a Squirrel's Tale. That's what it needs to be.
Have you ever been dog cussed for not getting the gun over quick enough or not getting the camera focused in?
Every time I go with them. Every time. I've got like a nervous anxiety now with the cameras and any. I don't want to be around it.
Hey, I'm still watching 2023 there. Who was the gentleman hunting with y'all in Pennsylvania? I think it was you, Dave. I think it was you, Dave, and forgot the guy's name. Real skinny, glasses.
We were in Pennsylvania?
I think I was in Pennsylvania or New York. Maybe New York.
Wayne?
Yeah, Wayne, yeah.
Wayne, yeah, that's my buddy Wayne I grew up with.
Okay.
He was in that New York episode that just dropped, yeah.
Okay, maybe that was New York.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. I grew up with him. He's been turkey hunting a lot longer than me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a childhood buddy. We grew up together.
Okay.
He was in my neck of the woods. Yeah, he's actually down here right now staying with me. He's hunting some Tennessee public land.
Okay.
Yep.
Touch on the, you know, a lot of those northern states up there, they have all these, and I'm sure a lot of people seen it in Dave's videos, but they have these rock walls. And I noticed it the first time we was in Maine, or the only time I've been in Maine turkey hunting, but they got these rock walls everywhere you go. And it's, what are those?
they're impressive. If I recall, their field boundaries, like they would run their cattle or stuff in, and they would build the rock walls, you know, in place of fences. Now, every one of those rock walls, you see someone had lifted that stone up there. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, there's miles and miles and miles.
Miles.
Yeah.
It's miles. And some have more than others. Like Maine has got some, the rocks are different, you know, it's slate versus granite. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, the whole Northeast has that. It's pretty impressive. some physical being picked those rocks up and built them. Some of those things stand 4 or 5 feet tall, you know?
Somebody's kids got a lot of ass whoopings over that. You get over there tote them rocks, boy, you're going to get your ass whooped.
I would say a lot of turkeys have been killed behind those walls, and they've probably been a lot of turkeys saved because of those walls.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you found hunting up there in New York that those birds will let those walls hang them up and not come any closer or anything? Or have you seen them hop up on them?
Typically, I think more so than not, from what I've experienced up there, they'll hang them up unless there's a bar way there. Or, you know, they have jumped up on them before. I have seen that. But, like, typically they try to find, like, a bar way. And that's, like, the bar way is those openings in the walls. For whatever reason they're there, I don't even know. You know, I'm not a historian by any means. But, yeah, I think they do hang a lot of turkeys up, especially if you go there and you don't know the terrain, you don't know that wall's there. I've had that happen. Like I said, I never had a turkey hunting mentor, and I grew up there hunting. I had to teach myself. So there was a lot of times where I ran into those situations. Turkeys hanging up, I had no idea what the heck was even going on.
That's right. All right, let's go into story time. Tell us a good story on Chubbs. Everybody loves Chubbs, and everybody wants to hear a good story.
A good story on Chubbs.
You and Chubbs seem like y'all been friends for 30 years. I mean, y'all have got a great relationship. He loves to poke fun at you.
Oh, he does. He does. Man, what's a good story? I think...
I mean, any of the guys. You could tell one on Drew or Dave or... Whoever, Tanner, Sleazy, whoever.
I've got one on Dave because this is probably the first time I've met Dave. It's pretty funny. So the first time I met him, he flew up to New York. I picked him up to come down, and I remember we were staying in my dad's place. And, you know, Dave, they don't take this the wrong way, but he's kind of a little out of shape, you know, as he got older. He got the dad bond, you know. Well, the first time I met him, he came down that basement, and he took his shirt off, and that boy, I'm talking ripped. Like, he could have stepped on stage in, like, the classic physique. He was shredded. So I've got two brothers, right? And my older brother was actually camping with a woman in the backyard, right? He set a tent up with her, and he was camping out there. So Dave and I were like, yo, let's mess with him in the morning, right? And Dave got he has a coyote howler. And I didn't even know Dave, you know, but I knew he had some kind of keen sense of humor. So my brother's out there with this girl, and we were leaving at, like, I don't know, it was early in the morning. We get out there, and Dave goes up to that tent, and he hits that coyote howler. And we go take off running back into my brother's car, and I'm trying to back out the driveway at, like, 100. And I end up driving over my dad's mailbox. Now, I don't know what happened to my brother and that girl in that tent, but they must have come unglued. They must have hit the top of that tent, you know, the dick of the coyotes in the backyard barking at them. Oh, man, that was funny.
Oh, man, so that's when you knew right then y'all was destined for greatness.
Yeah, I said, this guy's funny. Oh, man.
Oh, me. Well, when you go on these trips with these guys and you get the opportunity to spend time in camp with them, what's your favorite part of that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably just, you know, cutting up at the end of the day or in the morning, whatever, you know. I mean, just, you know, you get, you know, I guess we're all very serious when it comes down to turkey hunting, like anyone else, you know, but we do like to unwind and cut up, and there's a lot of dang jokes being happening afterwards. I think that's probably the best time, you know, that whether it's the recap of the day or, I mean, I remember, I could tell you, I've been writing stories. We were out in New Mexico, and they met up with us. It was me, Dave, Sleazy, and Drew. And Sleazy and I put them in my truck, and I like IPA beers, right? So we stopped and got some, and I was having a couple beers, and we were riding around and hitting all the little hollers, right? Hitting the howler. I had Sleazy on it. And we had this, I was driving down the road, and this elk jumped out in front of me, a cow elk jumped out in front of the truck, and I was trying to run the hooves off it. And if you ask Sleazy about it, he says, man, he ain't right. He's like, he slapped, run the hose off the.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we hadn't done a segment in a while that we like to call rapid fire. We're going to do a rapid fire with you, Squirrel, because you seem like you'd be a good one to answer these.
You come up with a question.
Oh, I came up with these questions this time. Gosh. Nick,
I'm not good at this stuff. We'll see how I do.
Well, Nick usually does rapid fire, but I've been writing these down sitting here, so I'm going to do rapid fire tonight.
Barbecue or Frank's?
All right. So
ketchup or mustard?
All right. So you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. So we wrap this up here.
Cookies or protein bars?
Cookies.
Tea or soda?
Tea.
Pizza or barbecue?
Pizza.
20 gauge or 12 gauge?
20.
Box call or pot call?
Pot call.
Gangster movies or westerns?
Gangster.
A cot or an air mattress?
Whew. I guess I'd have to say the air mattress.
A wool sweater in the winter or a tank top in the summer?
Tank top in the summer.
Oh, me. Eastern or Osceola?
Ooh, Osceola.
Osceola or Merriam?
Osceola.
Chewing tobacco or another one of them cigars Dave likes to smoke?
Cigarette. I mean, they're probably a cigar. I can't chew tobacco.
Oh, that's it. I didn't go too far down a rabbit hole. I had plenty more I was thinking of.
I figured it was going to go completely different on that.
Oh, what do you think I was going to say? Levi's or Wrangler blue jeans? Oh, my goodness.
I thought you were going to get into some gym things. Chester arms.
No, you ain't got to worry about me looking for no gym. I'm not the poster boy for gym life. I can promise you that.
What's the best one-liner Chubbs has got since you didn't have a story? I'm sure he's got a good one-liner he uses.
Oh, man.
Put him on the spot.
Yeah, I know, man. I don't do well on the spot stuff.
All these will come to you later.
Yeah, all the stuff will be obvious. Man, I should have said that. Yeah, probably if you're not first, you're last. He says that a lot.
Yeah. I love his baseball terminology and as when it goes to hunting.
He's always referenced, yeah, that. Put on the cleats.
Yeah.
Well, there's a good
lace
one.
Lace up the cleats.
Yeah. Braves or Yankees?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
no
Yankees.
Oh, you Yankee. Boo.
I'm a New York man. I was born and raised in New York, you know.
I guess it's better than a Met.
Yeah, yeah, I'd have
to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right.
That's what
right.
I should ask, Yankees or Mets.
I'm going to read this Bible verse. Y'all don't mind, do you?
Go ahead.
No.
No, go ahead. Please.
anybody ever had a problem with God's timing? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, all of us. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that Bible name. You're going to have to read that, Alex. How do you say that?
How do you pronounce that, Josh? Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes.
There you go.
Ecclesiastes.
That's a little bigger for me. To everything, there is a season, a time for every person under heaven. All right, let me scroll down here. Y'all can go read this for yourselves because there's a lot of things that it ties back into time. As I was sitting in the woods Sunday, I was thinking of this, and this is kind of relatable to like basically how my turkey season's going because I feel like I'm being impatient. What prophet has the work from in which he labors? I have seen the God given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy all good of his labor. It is the gift of God. So,
put the timing in his hands, and I think we'd be better off with everything we do in our life and not trying to rush things. So that's what I gathered out. Yeah. That's what I was leaned up against that tree that morning, and I was thinking, man, I try to rush a lot of things in my life. I want things done right then and there, but sometimes you just got to sit back and wait for it to come.
Well,
I think that's human nature, Nick. Yeah.
I got one that kind of piggybacks off. We didn't do one on the last episode, and I told you about Fred, the guy that's in the dog hunting club down in South Georgia. And Fred's an awesome person, and I've been included and been blessed enough that every morning Fred sends a Bible verse to a group of people, and I'm in that group now that he sends it to. And on Sunday morning before we went turkey hunting, and you talked about this, better to give than it is to receive on the last one. And so this was this is what I woke up to on Sunday morning before Sawyer and I went turkey hunting. It said, it was Genesis 32:25-29. It said, when Jacob wrestled with God, his hip was dislocated and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Jacob's struggles with God created something new, a loyalty to God that guided the rest of his life. Sometimes the limps we experience in life is God reminding us to depend on him and let him guide and tote us. And I don't know why that kind of stuck out in my mind when I got done reading that. I mean, I was literally standing on that rock that, you know, we took a picture of that's on a lot of our posts and stuff like that. And that's when I finally read that. And I just had to stop there for a moment and kind of relish in the fact that, yes, we do get cut back and we have to limp along sometimes in life. But isn't it special to know that at least when we're limping along, we got somebody that'll help carry us?
Kind of goes back to timing, just what I just read, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, it is.
Yes, absolutely.
We're trying to rush this whole thing and trying to figure things out. And you, whether it's your job at work, you're trying to figure your job out, if I should do this or if I should move up in careers, and you're not getting your answers, well, it's probably not time to move, you know. And I think that's a lot of things. Sure. And I try to use a lot of that stuff in the woods when I'm hunting, trying to think about, you know, am I doing the right things or whatever. But sometimes you just got to wait on his timing.
That's right. I love it. And that's, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's, you know, pretty special about the Penhody Project and everything that you guys done. Dave's done a very good job of keeping the gospel in there with it and being able to share that. And, you know, that's something that we've done since the beginning of this. And I think that's why we align so well with you guys, is we all have the same mindset and we're on the same journey. We want to make something special out of everything that we do. But at the end of the day, we're about family, we're about our faith, and we're about, you know, keeping the principles of the outdoor life that we've been blessed enough to experience in first and foremost at the front of everything. So it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you guys, and for the short period of time that we've been able to know you and personally know you this past year at NWTF, I literally look forward to getting back in a space where we can actually enjoy a conversation away from the crowds and away from the microphone squirrel. And for me, that's pretty special when you can meet a perfect stranger and you're a friend that I guarantee you one of these days we're going to share a camp with you in some capacity, and we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we appreciate you fellas. I mean, shoot, reach out anytime. I mean, we'll have a big time together. Yeah.
Is this your first podcast, Squirrel?
Yeah. Dave, we always said that. I know Sleazy said that to y'all. We were going to do one with him. Now, we recorded by myself, Chubbs, and Dave, and it was starting off so funny because we were just sitting there and just started cutting up, and we had some technical issues with the equipment. By the time we got that figured out, it was already well into night, and Chubbs and I we had way too many beers at that point just to even get that going. So the take two didn't really come out so well, and Dave wasn't, and we always said that we're going to get it back together and do that, and Dave wanted me to, you know, help him with it and get the stuff going. Just, man, I don't know, it seems like that time thing always is biting us, you know. But yeah, we have to get it back. But yeah, this is my first one.
Well, I'm glad it was with us.
I'm sure there'll be plenty more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you guys asked me at the. I wish we got more time to spend at the convention. I mean, that place is a whirlwind. You know, you spend that much time working in the booth. When Nick came up to me and says, "Hey, man, you ready?" I said, "Sure, you want to talk to me? I don't really have." What's to say, you know?
Well, I'm sure we found enough to talk about that night. I got to chat with you and Hunter, and we can't wait to see you again down the road. I'm sure it won't be. It'll probably be sooner than later. I can only hope so. Anyway,
we just got to get two more guys from the Penhody Project on. We'll have them all covered.
Yeah, who else you need to get? Let me ask you that.
We haven't got Drew.
Right,
Drew's.
Drew, I think I'm gonna get Drew to do it one day, hopefully, and then Drew, I know. I tried to get him and his dad to come over here, and we're gonna set it up one day. We'll get him over here, but I haven't got Chubbs on here. I've never spoke to Chubbs on the phone or had any conversation with him, so I'm gonna have to get him on here in the near future.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, before we wrap this up, let me ask you, Nick, since you're a big call maker now and stuff, what is your favorite type of call to run?
Oh, if I'm going hunting tomorrow, I got a ghost cut.
Really?
Yeah, if I'm going hunting tomorrow, that would be the one call. If I could take it to the woods, it would be my ghost cut. And then probably after that, probably a bat wing. I actually made the other day, I don't even know what you call it. It looks like a bat wing, but I slid it right up the center, and I'm really liking it now too. So,
nice, good for you.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I'm a ghost cut guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't run any of them worth the crap, but I like a ghost cut. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I
really do.
I played with a bunch, and then I end up buying that press and stuff, and started messing with them. I started getting stuff that I could blow. I could never blow a ghost cut before I bought that press. I bought several, and I just couldn't get any sound out of it. But now it's my favorite. So,
I used to run a lot of combo cuts.
No, go ahead.
I used to run a lot of combo cuts back in the day, and then I don't know. I tried this ghost cut, and I tried that, and I don't know. I don't think I can even blow a combo cut or a bat wing right now if I wanted to.
And you're using a Woodhaven ghost cut, right?
Oh, Rip's gonna love that one.
I just started making some of my own calls.
Oh, did you?
Just tinkering around a little bit here and there.
Did you buy a press or a hand jig?
No, I stole Dave's press, one of his.
Okay.
Yeah, I was over at his place one day, and I kind of just put it in my truck without him knowing.
There you go. That's the best kind. I'm good, man. I appreciate you coming on here, Squirrel, and doing this, man. I know it's kind of been a long night, and you still got to take care of the what's her name, Zoe?
Yeah, Zoe. That's her name. Yeah, she's 11. She's 11. I'm going to go fix her some supper. That's cool. No, I appreciate y'all having me. I mean –
Well, good luck the rest of this turkey season. Be safe out there, man, and I'm sure I'll be touching base with you here shortly.
Likewise, yeah, I know you guys are going over the road soon here. Best of luck. Be safe out there. All right. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it, Squirrel. Thanks, talk brother. Soon.
Yes, sir. Right, take care.
Bye. What a fun one.
That was fun, man. That was good. I'm glad we broke it into two parts.
I really enjoyed the fact that we were able to get him and Sleazy on at the same time, because we got to see a little bit of interaction there between those two that most people probably don't get to experience.
Yep. And we're gonna try to maybe start doing some of those in the future with a lot of other people, just get combined on there, because I think it's good for people to kind of feed off one another, and it helps us with questions. And I enjoyed that. I'm glad he came on there. So, Drew, when you hear this, Chubbs, if you listen to this, we're coming after you next.
Yeah, I want Drew in studio.
Yeah,
I want him to come down here to the studio, and he's close enough. He can grab a ride with Hunter or one of the Slim Reaper boys and come on down. I think that would be a very good and
he's bringing Pops over, his old man Joey.
Well, we need to get Drew. Drew's going to be that. We've got the tip of the spear. We've been going down the sides of it all the way through. We need the base there. We need to get the old school stories of the early days of yes. Dave and Drew and their childhood and everything else. So, Chubbs, you're up next. We need you, brother. We need you to come on, and then we'll get Drew and finally get him on. Like you said, that'd be fun to get their dad on too.
It would.
What else?
When is this going to drop out?
This will drop out on the 29th of April. This will be the 29th of April when this drops out.
So I'll be leaving this weekend coming up. Well, I'll be gone, so.
Congratulations to everyone that's harvested a turkey this far into the season. There's been a lot of people that's had great success. A lot of kids. There's been a lot of kids that I've seen take turkeys. Congrats to my old buddy Brock. He knocked one down first turkey. Yeah, he got one. Him and Tucker went. Tucker had killed a turkey, and Tucker's got into filming. He's got him a little YouTube channel out there. I think it's called Bucks, Bass, and Baseball, I believe is what it's called. If I'm wrong on that, he'll make sure to let me know. But He's got him a little YouTube channel, and he's been filming some stuff, and he got him a new little camera, and he told his dad, he said, I want you to shoot it, and I want to film. So
yeah.
Turkey came in, and they were able to take one he was filming for.
That's
him,
pretty cool.
But
he using that Wilson Coyote howler?
I guarantee you, yes. I guarantee you if he's got a mouth call in, it's going to be one of yours. He loves those Wilsons for sure. So definitely been a lot of birds dropped by your mouth calls this season.
A lot have.
A lot have fell victim to the Wilsons' custom calls.
I know it. Now, let's wrap this thing up. I got a plane to catch here soon.
Well, I hope everyone's having a wonderful season. Hope you're ending it up with whatever you want to get out of it. For everyone that doesn't know, the auction we had for Miss McKenzie, all of that stuff's already over with. And we can't thank everyone enough that contributed to that, from the call makers, from the companies that donated stuff, from the partners that we have here at Talk About It Outdoors that sent stuff to us. We were able to raise a very, very large sum of money for that family, and it's due to people that follow along with us and help us out with that deal. It's been a blessing and a privilege to do. In just a short period of time, we'll be going over and dropping off that check and the money to them. And so we want to thank everyone that was a part of that. Be on the lookout for the website opening back up. We know it's been under construction for quite a bit here. We've been trying to restock some materials and things. So if you're interested in getting a hat or shirt or whatever it may be, go over and check out what's on the website. It's www.talkaboutitoutdoors.com. Make sure you check out what's going on Chasing Weekends. There's not going to be that many more episodes in the 2024 season drop out. We're going to save a few back to drop out at the beginning of 2025. But we've got a lot of content that's dropped out over there. You can see hunts from Nick and I on the opening weekend. You can see our Florida trip. You can see the KT team videos. And you can also see what's going on to end out the season here in Georgia. So we appreciate everyone for tuning in on this one. If you haven't already, make sure you please go over and like and subscribe on Chasing Weekends. That is our YouTube channel. And make sure you leave a review and a comment on this episode. If you enjoy what we've got going on, come back and leave us a comment on what you want to hear next. We've got some great stuff coming up here in the near future, and we can't wait to share it with you. So for everyone here at Talk About It Outdoors, we want to remind you to smile as you go, but don't forget, mount the memories. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work, or that driveway you're tired of eating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab, or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Are you in need of a decluttering barn or garage slap full of stuff you just don't need? Or is your construction site needing a dumpster? Give our buddy Tony at Georgia Junk and Dumpster Rental a call. With services ranging from junk removal to roll-offs, Georgia Junk is here to help with any and all removal needs. If it's time to get that parking spot back or the boat needs a place inside, Tony and his team can surely assist.
Servicing Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, and surrounding counties, give them a call at 404-406-3501 or check them out on Facebook at Georgia Junk. Clean up the yard in short order with Georgia Junk.